From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Wednesday, January 9th, 2019. And on this day, Portland's a step closer to having universal paid sick leave, but it remains a controversial idea. That's ahead in just a moment. First tonight, Democratic Governor Janet Mills intends to authorize the sale of $15 million in senior housing bonds that were approved by voters 3 years ago, but held up by her predecessor, Governor Paula Page. Steve Missler has details.
LePage cited financial reasons as justification for withholding the sale of the bonds, which he claimed, without evidence, would provide an inappropriate windfall to housing developers. The proposal was originally advanced by his political foe, former House Speaker Mark Eaves, and approved by nearly 70% of Maine voters. A spokesman for Mills said in a statement that the governor intends to sign the senior housing bonds and, moving forward, work to authorize the sale of other voter-approved bonds in a timely manner. There are roughly $264 million in bonds approved by voters, which have yet to be sold. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
The state of Maine fails to provide adequate access and quality in its children's behavioral health services. That's according to a new report by Public Consulting Group. Katrina Ringrose of Disability Rights Maine says the report by an outside consultant offers a good blueprint for creating a statewide strategic plan to improve those services.
It has to involve everybody, you know, across the state who are providing services and who's receiving services. And this is just the first step, and there's many more to come.
Disability Rights negotiated with the LePage administration to commission the report in response to several problems, including long waits for services. In a press release, the acting director of the Office of Child and Family Services says the department's new leadership under the Mills administration will carefully review the findings. Supporters of a proposal to create a paid sick leave ordinance in Portland won a victory last night when a city committee agreed to create a universal policy for both large and small businesses. But the ordinance has yet to be voted on. And as Patty White reports, several employers say a paid sick leave mandate would unfairly burden businesses.
As a business owner, Dave Aceto of Arcadia National Bar in Portland says he loses sleep over a lot of things. Did he remember to lock up? Will people come to special events?
But one thing that makes me sleep better is knowing that my employees can take time off to be healthy people and healthy workers.
Aceto offers paid sick time to his 10 employees, and he thinks Portland should adopt a proposal that would require all employers to provide earned paid sick time, including for part-time, seasonal, and temporary workers. Lizzie Hanshee also supports the proposal. She says she's a PhD student and part-time cashier at Whole Foods.
Since I began at the job at the end of August, 4.5 months ago, I still have not earned a full shift's worth of paid sick time.
And Hanshee says she's gone to work sick because she couldn't afford to miss a paycheck. It's a decision that employees shouldn't have to make, says Eliza Townsend of the Maine Women's Lobby.
So this issue is a public health issue, and it is an issue of social justice and fairness to all workers.
The draft ordinance originally put forth by Portland's Health and Human Services Committee Tuesday night would have created different mandates for large and small employers to provide between 24 and 48 hours of earned paid sick time. Supporters of paid sick leave do not support the two-tiered system, and several businesses do not support any mandate at all.
We believe that this is one size does not fit all.
Mark Lannon is the CFO for Cozy Harbor Seafood. He says it would be a significant cost to implement the paid sick leave proposal, which would come out of other employee benefits. Other businesses say they support the intent of the proposal, but call it flawed. Greg Wiesner, an attorney at WEX, says instead of paid sick time, the city should require PTO, paid time off, which can be used for vacation or sick days.
PTO is a much more flexible, much more progressive, and much more empowering way to approach these things.
Allison Briggs, the director of human resources of Olympia Hotels, asked the committee to hold off on pursuing the ordinance because the legislature will consider a bill this session to create a statewide earned paid sick leave law.
Just wait. Wait for the state to work on this, involve the business community, and we'll happily and gladly work together to have something that's fair and consistent.
After 72 people testified, the committee agreed to amend the proposal. They eliminated the two-tiered system in favor of a universal policy for all employers. They also reduced the maximum amount of sick time earned in 1 year from 48 to 40. But the committee doesn't appear to be interested in waiting for the legislature to act. They're expected to vote on the proposed ordinance in February, then take it to the full city council. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
As the federal government shutdown continues, the union that represents 25 air traffic controllers at Portland's Jetport says the long-term impacts could make the current staffing crisis even worse. Mick Devines, the New England vice president of the National Air Traffic Controllers Association, he says older controllers who aren't getting paid under the shutdown may just retire, and younger ones may look for work in another industry. And he says for travelers, that could mean delays.
And we're not going to have the staffing to keep up with the volume of traffic. So what we'll end up doing is putting in restrictions to the amount of traffic that runs through the system.
Devine says there is no point at which the staffing issue would become a danger for travelers. Some controllers who work in Portland have already been sent back from training at the Federal Aviation Academy in Oklahoma, which is closed because of the shutdown. Right now, Devine says five of the Jetport's controllers are on furlough. The others are working without receiving a paycheck. And costs for heating fuels in Maine are starting to drop in the wake of falling crude oil prices and a warm December. Lisa Smith with the governor's energy office says heating fuel prices held steady during a very cold October and November, with heating demand contributing to flat retail prices. Smith says tighter domestic supplies have also contributed to a relatively slow decline in retail prices.
But we still have, you know, adequate supplies. It's just not excess, which would move prices downward.
The governor's energy office says the average statewide cash price for heating oil is now $2.86, which is 9 cents less than 3 weeks ago. The kerosene average is also down 9 cents to $3.45 a gallon, and the average propane price for heating customers has dipped to $2.87 a gallon. For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Wednesday, January 9th, 2019. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team. I'm Nora Flaherty.